And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your co-captain speaking. If you're listening to... How does this go? Ladies and gentlemen, I was going to try to do a co-captain thing, like, this is your captain speaking, and do, like, the joke where they just always go, Ladies and gentlemen, the day today is the 18th of July, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic.
Presented by The Athletic, too.
By The Athletic. Yes, I did skip that part. Presented by The Athletic. James, Summer League has officially... Shout out to the Seattle Supersonics. I was in a bar the other day on Division Street, and a very awkward dap between me and this guy because it was across the bar. Okay. And he was like, you're the coolest guy in this bar with that hat. And he was like really excited about it. And then the bartender was like, what do you know about the Supersonics? And I, being too dirty Shirley's deep, was like, oh, Sean Kemp, ever heard of him? So that's the, and I had just gotten that. You ever heard of Dwayne Casey? He wasn't. I just mean because of the Sean Kemp connection. Anyways, James, Summer League. Oh, yeah, actually, he was, yeah. Summer League is officially come and gone.
Shout out my Chris Osgood shirt.
Shout out to the Chris Osgood shirt. Summer League is officially come and gone. Pistons went 3-2, and the last two games were pretty much, I mean.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I was very curious what we were going to talk about today.
I have a game. Don't worry. Okay. I have a game.
Because the last pod we did, it was the last time Ivy played.
Yeah.
And the last time Kill played, and essentially the last time Stu played. Like, unless we're going to sit here and talk about Umudi and CJ Moore and Braxton Key
boys.
And the Boeheim boys.
Yeah, we're not.
Do you have any final Summer League thoughts that we didn't already convey?
That we didn't already cover? No, but I would re-express that Jordan Brink is really good at his job.
That's your guy. Shout out to JB. Shout out to Keegan Murray, Summer League MVP.
That's right. Yes. Shout out to Sacramento. Shout out to Keegan Murray. I'm pretty sure that they went back-to-back, didn't they? Because I'm pretty sure they won last year.
I feel like they win every year, but yeah, maybe. They didn't win this year. Portland won.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking MVP meant the finals MVP, but that was not the same thing.
Did you see the video of the player? I forgot who it was on Portland. IG lived Dame from the locker room.
No, I did not see this.
And Dame was essentially on a beach with like Anthony Simons, like in a different country. And they like he had no idea they won. He's like, you guys won? go find that video. It was funny. It was tight.
I did
he had
not
to like
know
hide
that.
His girlfriend's face. It was funny.
One thing that we did do over the last few days, a little housekeeping thing here, should have let off the top with this. We started a YouTube channel and...
Yeah.
We have a new email that people can send us stuff. We will actually take care of that at the end because some people sent us some emails and we will read them on the show. We'll cover that more in a little bit. YouTube channel, though, much like we promote your athletic stories that come out every week, why don't you pump your new YouTube video, James?
Yeah, the Bun and Cardigan Show is our YouTube. Just go to Google and type in the Bun and Cardigan Show YouTube and you'll see our, main page at the top. You guys have been asking for the sneaker/office video, so we kicked off our YouTube page with that. Just 14 minutes of me rambling about the shoes, me in a Doom mask. Shout out to my girlfriend for the good video editing, or not editing, I edited it, but good video shooting. go check it out. We are on YouTube, the Bun and Cardigan Show. There's going to be clips from this show that we're you're listening to right now on the YouTube page at some point this week. Nick will be handling that.
Ideally the days that the episodes drop, I'll have videos to go with it.
Yes. I don't think we discussed the Sadiq Bey story. I think that was after last pod.
Oh, that got some pretty good attention. Good job there. You got aggregated a lot.
That story, like, I knew it was going to be like, I thought it would be like big, like in a off season, nothing else is going on way. Like, I figured Pistons fans would latch onto it,
like a community thing.
But
yeah,
it was like a national story. Like, it made the front page of the New York Times.
And then Austin Reeves' punk ass was like, "Oh, me too. Oh, me too. I like to work out. I'm in the gym all the time too." Everyone's like, "Shut up, Austin Reeves."
Shout out to Austin Reeves. Yeah, no, Sadiq has been living in the mountains of Colorado. People were telling me that if he lives in Boulder, he's not isolated in the mountains, but he's in South Boulder. And I, based on the description that him and Aaron Dotson, the video coordinator who has traveled with him there, they lived in a very small community with very few neighbors. It was pretty isolated, to my knowledge. He picked up hiking.
Just remembered this. We did talk about this because you told us how this story came up. We thought like a guy on a burner DM'd it to you.
My bad.
So yes, no, it's fine.
You're right.
I just
forgot that we did. Well, my other piece didn't come out, and I figured we should start with this before we get to your game.
The depth chart thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was actually going to lead. The only other thing I had to add was it was something that coincided with the depth chart thing. Let's do some more Isaiah Livers stuff right now because Reddit loves him. People love him right now. People are excited. There's a chance that in 2 years he might not be in the league, but damn it, right now I feel it. I feel the Isaiah Livers
energy. I'd be shocked.
If he was out of the league in two years.
Yeah, he's just going to be able to shoot. Like at the bare minimum. Like, he already showed he can be something defensively. Like, I'd be shocked if he's out of the league in 2 years.
And judging by that aforementioned depth chart story, there is a real world. You had him at the 4, right? Or was it the 3?
I had him at the 3 because that's what he played 3
and then Sadiq was 4.
Yeah, and we've seen Sadiq have his best performances in the league at the 4.
Yes.
What'd you think about that? So my starting lineup prediction, was Cade, Ivy, Livers, Bay, Stewart. Thoughts? Your favorite possible starting lineup? Is there one you like better?
It's only one of the better ones. I don't know that there's anybody who could be mad about that. Maybe the severe Killian Hive, who's like, no, Cade and Killian, they can play together, which they can, but you have Jaden Ivey, so you don't need to do that anymore. It's only one of the better scenarios. But the one, I said this a few weeks ago, and when you said that we weren't really going to be using Nerlens Noel that much, that surprised me, because I thought that maybe you ease Isaiah into it as they've been. That's kind of been the formula with him over the last 2 years, is to not really throw Isaiah to the fire.
You're talking about Livers? So I thought,
Stewart? No, I'm talking about Isaiah Stewart at the 5. So I thought maybe Nerlens Noel would be at the 5, Isaiah would be 6th. Which, I'm not saying that's what you should do.
Hold on, I'm saying confused. That's my thought. You're saying bring Isaiah Stewart off the bench?
I'm saying I'm surprised that that's not what it's probably going to be.
Really?
That's not what I want. That's not what I want. There's a difference between what I think is going to happen and what I want to happen. That's why I said what you just said with Cade, Ivy, Livers, Sadiq, Isaiah, almost probably the best case scenario. But I'm surprised that given the influence of veterans on this team, that there's not one in there.
So a couple things on that. A lot of people are very just scouring Twitter the last whatever weeks. A lot of people are very excited about the athletic possibilities that the Pistons can have, and it seems like a lot of the fake mock lineups that I've seen fans throw out there are very athletic driven. And I get it. This team hasn't been very athletic the last few years, or longer than the last few years. But I think it should be serve as an important reminder that even more so than being not super athletic, this is like been one of the worst three-point shooting teams the last few years.
Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is not going to get any better this year. They're going
to
stink.
Well, and that's why I think that starting lineup I produced, to start games at least, like, there's about as good floor spacing as you can get. Like, the only one in there that can't shoot, and he shot well at Summer League, or the one you worry about shooting, I guess, is Ivy the most. I guess most people would say Isaiah Stewart, too. But you know where I stand on that.
Yes.
So, like, that's, we'll say 3.5 guys who can shoot the ball in that starting lineup. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I still think that's going to be their top priority. Like, yes, they did get more athletic, but I think that's just for, like, lineup, mixing up lineups, getting creative with lineups. I still think shooting is going to be of the utmost emphasis, which is part of why I had that starting lineup as my choice. To your thing, I've also noticed that, too, like, a lot of people think Stu's going to come off the bench. Like, I'd be, I'd just be shocked. He started last year. He started some games his rookie year. They're invested in him. They see him as part of the core. They still want to have a defensive emphasis. And for what he gives up as a rim protector, he's one of the better perimeter defenders as a big. He showed he can space the floor. Like, I would be like, I think there's more of a chance that Ivy doesn't start than Stu, personally.
In favor of who?
What do you mean?
Who's starting in front
Burks.
Of Ivy?
Like, I could see Alec Burks starting over Ivy. Like, my reason for Ivy starting is Casey.
A good shooter, by the way.
Right.
Who's not, if you have him in the second unit, that's great.
Right. And my reason for Ivy starting is Dwayne has just shown a willingness to let the young guards just go. I think, obviously, for Cade's sake, it worked out well. I wonder, the Killian thing didn't work, but maybe now you know what he is.
Which is what?
I think he's a second unit guy right now.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I could see him throwing Ivy in the mix. And I also think, like, and people aren't going to want to hear this, you start that young of a starting lineup, and I still think it has the potential to be pretty good defensively. If you win some games with that unit as your starting lineup, great. If you lose some games but they play hard, great too. I don't think if you start Burks and Noel in that starting unit, then you're kind of like, all right, well, we at least should maybe win. Like, if we're going to lose, I'd rather lose with the young guys growing. And I think they have mature enough young players now. Like, Livers, mature but beyond his age. Stewart, obviously, Sadiq, Cade. Like, I think this is a group that you would feel comfortable with, like, starting games. So I'm curious to see how it shakes out, but that was just that was just 1.0. I'm sure it'll change toward the end of the summer.
The philosophy that you just mentioned, which is, like, if we're going to be losing these games, we might as well be losing with the young guys, has been pretty consistent, actually.
Yeah.
Over the last 2 years. I don't, like, if they're going to war and playing in these close games the way that they did last year, it was always with dudes who were, like, sub-23.
Yeah, usually it would just be Jeremy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, technical difficulties there. The good news there, though, is James just gave us some YouTube content, because why? What'd you do? What'd you do wrong, James?
I downloaded iMovie on my MacBook. I had deleted it previously. I hadn't needed it for a while. Now that we're doing YouTube stuff, I re-downloaded it, and it's taken up a crap ton of storage on my computer to the point that my recording on my end of our podcast stopped because there wasn't enough storage. So as I tried to transfer over iMovie to my external hard drive and delete it off my computer, everything froze. And here we are. We didn't just create content for the YouTube, for sure. It just happened to work out like that. And it might not even be funny.
The week that we're like, we should start a YouTube channel. We have like four technical difficulties and there's all this crazy stuff that you'll have to see the guest that we got for one of the technical difficulties, but that's only on the YouTube channel. Alrighty, we are about to start a game. That's what we're going to transition into. Yeah. The game for today. Now, typically during the off season, what you're going to want to do as a content creator, and this is for everybody out there, here's what you're going to want to do. You're going to want to create, what's the buzzword, James, in your industry? Evergreen content. That's what you want to make. You want to make something that anybody can pick up at any time of the year within a reasonable timeline.
And that's two words.
Evergreen was the word I was going for. But yeah, evergreen content. That's what you want to make. You want to make something that anybody can watch at any point of the year, and that's not what we're going to do right now. We're going to do something that is so right now that in a week it might not matter. By the time that this comes out, it might not even matter. Do you want to play this game with me? You're going to become a bookie, okay? You're going to be an odds maker for the next 10 minutes.
All right. I'm not good with like making odds, but I'll do my best.
I'll hold your hand. Right. I'm holding your hand through it. I got this. All okay. Right. So the game that we're playing here is we have to basically predict what the most likely announcement will be, the next one from the Pistons. And if you're a little bit confused, stay with me, and as soon as we start playing, you'll see where we're going.
Ooh.
So the next move that you or Omari, that you guys report, that has to do with the Pistons.
Okay.
The odds that a player gets cut, I put at plus 200. I think that's the most likely.
Okay.
What do you think? You think that's the most likely thing that happens?
Well, it depends on plus 200. What else you have listed.
I guess maybe it would make sense if I read all of them first.
Yeah.
Okay. I put player gets traded. I'm going to go plus 750.
Okay.
Not so sure about that one. I don't think it's as likely. For those, I guess we shouldn't be elitist here, and we should help everybody out. If there's anybody out there who does not understand odds making, if it's plus 750, that means that you would have to bet $100 in order to win $750. Okay, so plus 200, bet 100, you win 200. So the higher the number is, that means the less likely that it is. Okay. Odds are that the Pistons are opening up a new park or something. Plus 1,000. I think it's likely because it's like when this is kind of when you announce something like that, right?
Plus 100.
You think that, okay. See, when I put plus 1,000, I was like,
well, like, again, so technically they're opening it up, and well, they announced the new community center, which is where they did the press. Oh, so you're saying on top
but,
of that?
But the next thing, like the next thing that,
like every other week.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of right. So maybe plus 100 is probably closer. Yeah. This is like the next time that you have to put out a per sources or you screenshot a press release or something like that. The one that I wanted to put on here, but I don't remember. All of our, there's been a bow put on every single trade, right? We're good on that end. Nothing's still open from like the draft week.
Oh, yeah. Everything's official. Yeah.
Like okay, a cool. And then I wasn't going to put on here like, there's an announcement that somebody turned their ankle at like some open gym. No, like injury stuff, because that's ill will, and I didn't really want to be weird and do that. Okay. And then the last. Oh, I'm sorry. There are two more. I don't remember when the window for this is, but it's a slow time of the year, so I figured we probably won't hear anything. Odds are that the next thing that the Pistons announce is that they're signing some guy to a training camp contract plus 1,500.
Okay.
You like that one? Talk to us a little bit about that.
I think that's closer to, I think we're like a month away from that. Yeah.
You know what I think the best one is, even though I put it at the worst odds, or technically the best, depending on how you want to look at it.
Actually.
Last one.
That one might not be bad, because you just saw guys at Summer League. You might want to try to get them in-house.
Or this one, which is they announce some weird two-way thing where Braxton Key gets it taken away and they give it to somebody else. You know what I mean? Yeah. That was plus 2,000. I actually like that one the most. I'm going to take that as my betting favorite.
I'm surprised you didn't have, like, they announced the teal jerseys.
I don't think that's going to be the next thing they announce. I think it's going to be a while. They're probably going to take that one up to the wire.
I think there's going to be a whole spectacle with it.
100%. Yeah.
So,
Well, they would have to have it, you'd think, by media day, right? Because they got to take the pictures.
Well, the,
I mean, we they're going to take pictures regardless.
We might not
but
see them in it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would think so. Yeah. No, because they usually just do their regular.
They usually just do home and away. Yeah. They didn't do the Reds. Yeah.
They try to unveil that, and I would imagine the best player to wear those teals, there will be some type of involvement with him. I mean, you can connect Facts. The dots. He's been around. He's been doing his book.
He was just doing like a book signing there or whatever it was.
It's pretty easy to connect the dots that he'll be involved in some way. Or there will be something centered around him. So I will leave it. Centered on him. I apologize. Asshole.
It's my biggest pet peeve in the world because centered is a definitive point and nothing can physically be centered around anything. It drives me up the wall when people do centered around.
Except, centered around the sun.
We are centered on the sun.
We're around it.
We're central to it, We're orbiting it.
I get it when people say backwards or towards. It's backward.
Towards?
It's backward and toward. There's no S
toward?
At the end.
Toward. Oh, wait. Is towards not a word?
To my knowledge, as a trained and professional journalist with a degree, I don't think backwards is a word. Like, it's backward.
Hey, man. I wrote for Fansided for like a year and a half.
I might be wrong, okay? But I think it's just backward and toward. Saying toward is weird. That's a weird word.
I've never heard anybody say that.
He's coming toward you.
I've never heard that. But the way you're saying, like, toward,
I know,
it's
weird
really
to say by
off.
Itself. I never say it. I don't think I've ever said it by itself, and it's kind of weirded me out to say toward. It's a weird word. Anyway.
What do you think
toward.
Would you have to guess out of everything that I just wrote would be the next thing that you have to tweet?
All right.
What would surprise you the least?
Last, can I go in reverse order?
Yes. I can read them again if need be.
I don't think that they take away anybody's two-way.
Boo.
I think Braxton Key did enough. And I don't, how do I say this? I think they give Buddy Boeheim some love. Yeah.
No shock there, I don't think, with Troy and Jim's
history. It's possible.
I want to say something about Braxton Key that I have not said on the show.
Don't.
Go look up who he's recruited by, ladies and gentlemen, sitting in your cars. If you're waiting in traffic, don't be on your phone in the car. But when you get to work,
you're not driving.
When you get wherever you're going.
Who was it?
Look up who Braxton Key was recruited by.
Your favorite coach for whatever reason.
Of all time.
I don't understand
because it. He's the best coach of all time. One coach of the year. His numbers is in the rafters in Dallas. There's a hint for you.
That's cute.
Or wait, is it San Antonio? I think it might be San Antonio. I'm sorry. Because he was the coach of the Mavs.
Yeah.
It's up in the rafters in San Antonio. Anyways,
that's
you don't think anybody's two-way is getting messed up.
No, I don't think that would be first.
It's the park then.
No, that's second. They've announced a bunch of stuff lately. I think that's second to last for me. Then what are the other three? Someone gets waived.
Traded, cut, and training camp contract.
Traded in the middle. I'm not.
Shout out to Kelly Olynyk. For no reason, but just, you know, shout out to Kelly Olynyk.
And Saban.
He's not. He would just get.
That's what I was. So,
okay. Yeah.
If as I wrote, I think if somebody does get cut, I think Saban is the most likely candidate. So I would go two there. And then one would be, what would one be? Oh, training camp.
Carmelo's not doing anything, right?
No.
So is that a thing? Is this gonna be like a Joe Johnson type scenario again when we're like, oh, we got Joe Johnson, yes, and then we have to cut him to keep Christian Wood, but this year that would be like Balsa Koprivica.
Is this gonna be like, I can't even fathom how it's mid December, Melo's shot 12 times in this game, and just Pistons fans are just losing their shit. They're like, oh, initially they'll be happy, like, finally, Melo's where he should have been. He should have never, we should have picked him. He should have been a Piston his whole career. And then it's mid-December and he looks off Cade to shoot an 18-footer and it clanks rim and like everybody's going to be pissed. Yeah, he does the clear out. I mean, I wouldn't be. I think Melo would help.
I think from a business perspective, honestly, I think they've done enough this offseason to make as much money as they're going to make next year. And I just don't think Carmelo Anthony is going to add more than like $50,000 to your total revenue for the year.
Yeah, so. But I also think that like Melo wants to play, I would imagine, if he's going to keep doing. Like he's not, I don't think he's ring chasing. Like he's ring chasing, but like he wants to play too.
Facts.
That second unit doesn't really have a scorer.
The hell is happening? We're actually going down this road?
I don't think it like would be the worst idea in the world.
Oh, you don't need to convince me.
Like, would you rather give 18 minutes to Melo or Kevin Knox?
I would. Let me tread lightly here.
As a fan, like for your viewing experience, which one?
Yes. I would rather give Carmelo 48 minutes over giving Kevin Knox 5.
Okay. So yeah, you could. Yeah. Maybe if you trade Olynyk, you play Bagley at the 5, Melo at the 4.
What's the incentive for him, though?
He gets to shoot the shit out of the ball at 49 years old.
And then what happens when he shoots 36?
Then
he's out in February.
That's all right. You know how rich Melo is?
Right. No, I'm saying that's a good thing because that means you're flipping him.
Oh,
trade him to the Lakers for like a...
Yeah, maybe you flip him. Yeah, like, that'd be shocking, but yeah, maybe.
Trade him to the Lakers for a 2035 second or something like that.
That'd be funny.
Whatever they got going on over there.
That'd be funny. Yeah.
Thoughts on Bron in the Drew League?
Dude. All right. I have two things.
A lot of wild takes going on about the Drew League since that, by the way.
Yeah, I have two things about that whole situation. I don't love... This was like old man James right here. Like, imagine that... And this is just also me like having done stories of historic basketball places and having to hear like these stories by the people that were there, like when I did the St. Cecilia story, there wasn't cameras. There wasn't, I wasn't on TV. Like, you had to be there to have this memory. Like, there's maybe 500 people in the world that can remember seeing George Gervin on the floor with ice with Isaiah yeah. Thomas this one night in Detroit. I kind of hate that, like, it was broadcasted, because, like, that should have been, like, a moment for, like, the people in the building. Like, instead, like, me and you are going to talk about 20 years from now. Yeah, remember when we watched Bron play in Drew League? We're 2,000 miles away. I didn't watch it. I didn't care about watching LeBron against non-pros. Like, I just had no interest in that. But I kind of feel like that was, like, the social media quick fast food take. Like, I wish those people in that gym that made it there only got to experience that.
Look, I think this, it comes off a little boomerish, but honestly, I really respect it. Yeah. I really respect that take.
Like, it just, it didn't need to be, and I get it. It's like, we have the technology to do it now and all that stuff, and it is Bron, but, like, I don't know. If I was in LA, I made the trek to go see that in person, like, I'd want to have that memory to myself. It's unique to that city, but instead we all got to watch it. I don't know. I'm weird about that.
I think it also probably did a lot for LeBron's. I mean, not that LeBron needs image stuff, but you know how he is with cameras and like publicity and stuff. So I'm also sure that LeBron being there, he was like, yeah, like he wouldn't have wanted it to not be broadcast right. because he wants everybody to see that he's not going to shy away from something like the Drew League just because he's 100%. Old. Hasn't done it in what, like 10 years. Yeah. So he's definitely sort of not part of that.
That's a good point. I just, as a lover of those old stories that you hear about, I randomly went to this gym on Tuesday and
for sure.
And Mike Muscala was playing one-on-one with Mike Miller.
Gym right up the street is where Keegan had been working out for the last like 4 months. You know how hard it was not to be like the SpongeBob meme with what is the guy's name? Not Picklehead. Plankton? What was the guy's name? No. Larry, I think was his name. Kevin. No, it was Kevin. Hi, Kevin. I'm your biggest fan. That guy, that meme, that would have been me if I went to that gym. But I didn't.
I actually still don't believe you that you never. You've texted me about this that you've known. I know. There's more to the story. I don't want to put it all out there, but you know. I'm surprised you didn't go up there. I don't believe that you didn't go up there, actually.
I know the address. I know every piece of information that I need to know.
And you can get in for free at this gym.
Ooh, and that, yes, I can. And that does sound very, like, stalkerish. That is right. not how they, this is.
There's more together. To the story.
A lot more. There's yeah. a lot more. It's just not, it's not important. It's
Nick,
not going to be interesting.
Nick knows somebody that works at the gym. We'll say that.
Yeah. Right. And so.
That's how he was aware of it going on.
That's an easy way to say it. So, what do you say we end the show by reading off a few of the emails?
Yeah, did we get a good amount? Sent us? No.
For only it being one tweet. I didn't want it to be a huge influx because I wanted to be able to read a good number of them. And I think that there are some questions here. We'll be able to jump through real quick. And this is how we could probably got like 4, 5, 6.
Tell the people the email again, and we will do this every podcast.
Yes, we will. You can email us literally anything. It could be a goof. It could be a question. It could be literally anything. It could be a story. We will read it if it's worth reading. Well, anything's worth reading. Yeah. But anyways. Okay. From Daniel Cavins. James.
You didn't read the email off.
I'm sorry. It is just bunandcardigan@gmail.com. Not the bun and cardigan, just bunandcardigan@gmail.com.
Was the gone? Like,
I just didn't even check, honestly.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, from Daniel Cavins. James, You might have gone over it before, but I think people, including myself, would be interested hearing about your career in journalism. How did you get started? What led to your job offer at The Athletic? Finally, when the inevitable time comes, what are you interested in doing after working on the beat? Daniel, thank you for the question. James, you have talked about this before, but it's been a while, and I think it's worth revisiting.
Graduated high school, Flint, Carmen, Ainsworth, went to Michigan State, majored in journalism with a focus in sports journalism. Sophomore year of college, I met a gentleman named Andrew Hank, who was also a sophomore at Michigan State at the time. And actually, remind me to get Andrew Hank on the pod this summer. Andrew Hank is now the equipment manager for the Lakers. So he would have some great stories.
Holy smokes. Yeah,
so shout out to Hank. He was working at the Lansing State Journal doing what we call stringer work, which is, if you're old enough to remember, like the back page of the newspaper, they have all the scores in pro and college sports and the high school sports. It was one back page with just tons of stats. You'd put that together, you'd answer phone calls on football nights, basketball nights. And yeah, so I did that. Once he told me his boss was looking for somebody, I was like, cool, I get my foot in the door at one of the biggest papers in the state. While I'm in school, I get paid more than minimum wage, which at the State News, which is Michigan State's campus, they were only getting paid like $2 an hour or something like that. Here, I was getting paid like $8 an hour, and I'd get like 25 hours a week. So as a college kid who paid for summer school and stuff like that, like it made sense to me. So I did that through college. When I got out of college, they offered me during that time, they would throw me like opportunities. Hey, like go cover Michigan State hockey. We need this. Go help out with basketball. The football team's playing on the same day. The guys are going there, so you go there. So I did good enough work that when I graduated, they offered me a full-time job to cover high school sports and local college sports, which obviously include Michigan State.
Yep.
Did that for 3 or 4 years. In doing that, caught the attention of The Athletic with some of the stories I did and came up with in that time. And I've been with The Athletic since. So since this is actually coming up on – what year is it, 2022?
Yes, sir.
My 5-year anniversary is in August.
Nice. Here's something I don't
wait.
I don't know if
I feel like it should be 6.
Well, it was Luke's first year, so it would have been 2017. Yeah,
and it's 2022. Yeah, I guess 5.
Yeah, so it's 5 years. Yeah, I apologize if this is putting you in a box. I don't know if it is. So if it is, you can just be like, move on, and I'll just read the next email. Yeah. Were there any? When you were making the shift over to The Athletic, were there any other publications that you were looking at?
I got offered The Athletic job as I landed back from Knoxville, Tennessee, because the Knoxville News Sentinel wanted me to hire me to cover Tennessee football and basketball. And when I let The Athletic know, hey, I may take this, they offered me when I landed. So, yes.
Nice, man.
And then what was the other one? What do I want to do next?
Yes.
Gym
teacher.
I've had opportunities to leave Detroit, both internally through The Athletic and externally through other news outlets that we will not say. Over the last 2 years, I very much loving my job currently. I enjoy covering the Pistons. It's in terms of engagement and subscribers and readers, like you guys would be surprised. Like you could put my Piston subs up against almost any beat that we have at The Athletic. So I appreciate you guys. I've had some opportunities to go to bigger markets, air quotes, but that doesn't necessarily bring happiness. You can go.
Right.
You can be a national voice without doing that in the internet age. And I obviously feel like I'm one of the better NBA writers in the country. And I think my stories have traveled beyond Detroit. So you don't necessarily need to do that anymore. But when I'm done, I wouldn't mind being like a national features writer. If I could just like write 2 stories a month, travel across the country and do like features on guys. After this, I wouldn't mind being like a sports writer. Sports writing professor somewhere.
The old David Aldridge.
The old David Aldridge, yeah. Shout out to DA, my coworker.
Oh, yeah, he is. I actually wasn't even doing that on purpose. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Daniel, for that. From David Hewlings. Love the show, guys. Longtime listener. You make my Tuesday morning drive the highlight of my work week. My question for you is if you could do a top 5 or top 10 Detroit Pistons player rank, does Cade rank in the top 10 after year 1? Now, here's my favorite thing about David's email that I really empathize with is his signature. Now, David, I'm assuming that you left this in here on purpose, but as somebody who has I've had the same email since I was 9. So my signature is a 9-year-old signature, and I still to this day don't know how to change it. So when I'm sending an important email, I have to consciously remember to take out my signature. Yeah. And sometimes I forget. David's signature here is, I love cookies. So anyways, instead of doing the, because I don't want this episode to run too long, we don't have to rank like 5 or 10, but I'm really interested in the question of, does Cade rank in the top 10 after year 1 of all-time Pistons?
No. So let's go through it really quick.
Yeah, no order. Yeah. Let's just rattle off 10 who we think are.
Isaiah.
Okay, so Isaiah. Joe. Dave Bing. Joe Dumars.
Dave Bing, that's 3.
Yep. Kelly Tripucka.
Stop. Let's like wait. Before like, we can get, let's.
Okay, 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 okay.
Bob Lanier.
Yep.
Chauncey. Rip. Ben. Tayshaun. Rasheed.
George Yardley. That's actually not even a joke.
I mean, and if do we say Grant Hill?
Oh, no, okay, we didn't. Grant Hill. So Grant Hill.
And
okay.
With all due respect to Cade, his rookie season wasn't better than Blake's all NBA season. So if we're just going based off Cade's sample size as one season, no, he is not yet.
Where do you want to put Ben in there?
So I like to rank based on impact. Like Ben, to me, is a top 5 Piston of all time.
I was going to say 5.
Yeah, probably, like if you're going for, I always say it all the time. If we're being honest, Grant Hill and Blake are the most skilled Pistons ever. It's basketball skill. Is Blake a top 5 Piston of all time? No. But if you're just looking at pure skill,
he had a real good year.
Grant and Blake are probably 2 of the most skilled Pistons of all time, if not the 2 most. So I would I like to factor in impact and what they meant. I would say Ben is easily top 5. Find me another athlete who was a Halloween costume.
All right. From Luke Desprez. Hello to you both. No questions to be answered for me. Just wanted to write as a man who has also battled with mental health and show support to Nick. You both do a great job and keep up the work. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you,
Luke, for that. Yeah. Although I do maybe feel like I shouldn't have read that one. Sorry, Luke, but hey, thank you. From Levi Winkle.
That's good.
That's very true. From Levi Winkle. Hey, guys, big fan of your work. We've established that Troy likes to build the roster through trades. He's made many moves in his time here, but due to the rebuilding nature of the team, those moves have been mostly smaller deals, certainly nothing blockbuster. In parentheses, Jeremy might be the exception, but it was very expected by that point and not an overwhelming return. All agreed so far. Levi says, here's my question. In another couple of years when we are doing some serious competing, do you think Troy is planning on making some big move to land another star? It seems like another big name is on the move every year at this point, and when we get competitive, he either sticks with the development or will he make a splash? Thank you, Levi, for the question. So basically, is this leading somewhere or is this what we got?
I mean, we talked about it before when you usually draft young guys to eventually trade them. We've talked about that before.
Blow it up. Draft young cores to kill
them. It's very rare that you see a young core grow together in today's game. I will say this, though. Troy has built a young group that looks like it could just grow together, which is kind of very rare. I guess the OKC is doing it now, too. But it's very rare in terms of it's old school in a good way. In how it's going down, and I think that's like kind of refreshing and fun to watch and see, assuming that these guys stick around for a while. There is going to be a time where they're going to have to pay somebody, and they might not want to pay somebody. There's going to be a time. I mean, I know Pistons fans are excited right now, but not all these young guys are going to work out, and the Pistons are going to want to either turn a corner or turn another corner once they turn a corner, and sometimes trading somebody you like. Leads to that. Troy always says he'll make any trade that makes the Detroit Pistons better. So,
well,
I don't have like a name in mind, Would I be surprised? Well, that's kind of like the only one I right now at this point in time that I think there's no way he gets traded is Cade.
Right. So I was going to do a little mental exercise where if we're assuming that it's the trio of Sadiq, Isaiah, Stu that are probably going to have to go, unless Hamidou, you know, turns out to be something crazy, you know, the Bagley thing works. But it's going to be some combination
or Duren.
I don't know, man, if they're going to I would trading Jalen Duren already feels weird.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, obviously it should feel weird. We just fucking drafted him. Yeah. I'm just saying like it just
expect Sadiq and Isaiah and Duren, those guys to be Pistons for a long time. One that I think is off limits at this point in time is Cade.
Well, what I was going to get at there was, it was a really long-witted way of trying to make a really simple point. I can't think of a player that I would want to trade any combination of those players for. Not one.
You're a sicko.
Don't be like Luka, Steph, KD. Those guys don't count because nobody would say yes to that. Right? So I'm talking about if DeJounte Murray was on the table and that was a conversation. No.
You wouldn't trade.
Not if Sadiq has to go. No.
So like if somebody said, yeah, give us Ivy, Hayes, and Livers, and we'll give you.
That's different.
Okay. Somebody says, well, give us Ivy, Stewart.
No.
And a future first, and we'll give you.
See, you can't Miles Turner. The guy.
That's a lot for Miles Turner. No. That was just the first one that came to mind. Hold on. We'll give you
DeAndre Ayton.
No.
See, I don't think you can quantify this. I just don't think there's going to be any bad D. That's not enough, no?
I mean,
Ivy, Stu, Killian in a future and Liver, first. Oh, and Killian in a future first.
I wouldn't big do that of all trade time. If I was Detroit, but
that's the best shooting big of all time.
Yeah, he is. Is he a winner? We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's not do that. Yeah, we'll find out if he is. I wouldn't put any of that on him.
All I know is I watched Andre Drummond get 20 and 20 against them every time they played. So I can't wait to watch Minnesota. I hope Cat rises to the occasion.
Would you do it for Rudy Gobert is the question. Would you do the aforementioned package for Rudy Gobert? Now, obviously, they wanted way more than that. What is this racket about the Knicks almost giving up their roster and six firsts for Donovan Mitchell? There is no shot that Kevin Durant gets traded if that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, Jerry West had a point.
I think it was, like, Grimes, Quickly, and four firsts.
And Obi Toppin.
I would do that if I were the Knicks.
No shot.
Are any of those guys going to be as good as Donovan Mitchell? And I'm not even a big Donovan Mitchell guy. No. Did the Knicks just give $4 billion to Jalen Brunson? Yeah, like, they're stuck. They got to go for it.
I just hate that being a reason. Like, oh, we are really poorly run, so now we might as well just go all in because we have nothing else to do and we won't be able to do anything
else. I'll be pissed
else.
If Juan Soto isn't a Detroit Tiger next week.
Do people want that? Is that on the table as a thing? Well,
did you see he did decline?
No, yeah. I know that he declined it and that they're like trying to trade him.
Tigers have one of the better farm systems to go. Like, I think the Tigers have the pieces to go do a deal if they want to. It's whether or not they have the cojones to go do it.
So who are we on? Tigers talk real quick.
If there's
quick.
A way to get rid of, they can have whoever they want besides Riley Green. But if they want Riley Green, okay. I'd go ahead and do that still.
So I was gonna do Tigers talk as who's untouchable. So we're trading Torque and Casey Mize.
See
then.
Ya. For Juan Soto, yes.
Well, here's the thing about Casey Mize is, are we sure?
Are we
sure about Casey Mize?
No, we're not.
Right, that's kind of what I'm saying. And
we're
I'm
not sure
look,
about anybody
Tommy
outside
John
of Riley.
Scooble is nasty.
Scooble was good for like his first seven starts. His next seven were like I think at his peak, Scooble's your second, third pitcher in your rotation. Give me Juan Soto for the second or third pitcher in my rotation, like every time.
How about Stevie going after it for the Wings?
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
From everything, I don't know. But here's the thing: is we came into the Tigers season being like, this is the official year that Detroit sports starts to, you know, turn the corner. The Tigers are going to be great. The Lions got Hard Knocks, and which we're not even going to do the Lions thing because, James, I know how you feel about all of that. Dan Campbell is incredible, but that's where the dichotomy lies, is in that conversation. By my best, but dude, he's great for Hard Knocks, is he not?
I like Dan. I like Dan Campbell. I like what the Lions are doing. I'm not going to waste. I'm not going to invest my emotions to that team anytime soon. Like, it's not. They've done nothing for me in my life. They've brought me no. Now, they've brought those... Calvin Johnson has brought me joy. Barry Sanders brought a 2-year-old, 3-year-old James joy.
I think you're forgetting somebody in there who is from Texas, went to the University of Georgia, wears number 9, just won a Super Bowl, by
the way.
That
would be funny if you would have said he went to high school, Clayton Kershaw.
How about the guy who, I don't know if you knew this about him, but he went to high school with Clayton Kershaw.
No, I said what I said. Individuals have brought me joy. That team has never
such
once
a bad
brought
take.
Me joy. Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback.
Such a garbage take. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, by the way. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
So is Trent Dilfer.
He's a great analyst.
Great analyst. Blah quarterback on the greatest defense maybe of all time. And had Todd Heap, the Stormin' Mormon.
You know, here's a, can we go down Michigan State memory lane for 2 seconds and then we'll get this thing back on track? Yeah. Because we lost the game, I don't think people remember it as much as they should. Remember the first ever Big Ten championship game, Michigan State, Wisconsin, which again we lost, but Keith Nichol had the ball on the 5-yard line, and when he tossed it to B.J. Cunningham because he was getting dragged out of bounds, and B.J. Cunningham ran it. You remember that?
That was
a good day.
I'll never forget too. You have to be like you have to be a sicko to remember this, but I don't remember what.
Are you talking about Drew Stanton versus Northwestern?
No, that's iconic. Mark Dell versus Cal, first game of the year, whatever year that was.
2008. That was 2008.
I don't think I was in high school yet. I thought I was in middle school.
I would have been in fifth grade.
All right, maybe I was.
My JV year of football.
Maybe I was in high school. All I know is I remember watching Mark Dell go for like 268 yards against Cal in week one, and me and my dad and my sister were at Kalahari.
Oh, nice.
Watching from our hotel room.
Yeah, nice. I actually, that game, we couldn't even watch that game. It was that game and then the bowl game that we played, the Champ Sports Bowl against BC when Matt Ryan was our quarterback. We couldn't watch that game. So we had to like watch the ESPN game cast like on our computer, you know? That's so that's fun. What we were
Can
doing.
Can you name three professional athletes from BC?
From Boston College? Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, Andre Williams, he flamed out, but he was at the Heisman ceremony, so that counts. Didn't Luke Kuechel go there? How do you say, is Kuechel? Luke Kuechel, right? The linebacker? That's where he went, right? Boston College?
Possibly. I don't know why
I think
said
that's
that.
Where
like,
who
like,
did you
I
have in mind?
Right?
Yeah, I was going to say, who did you
Jared
have in mind?
Jared Dudley and Reggie Jackson.
How could I forget? Oh, Reggie Jackson. That's a good guess. Or good guess. Good pick. All righty, James. Tail end of this one really lost us.
I mean, it's
you got an album pick.
Have nothing to talk about.
No, you got an album pick. As he looks towards his vacant
that's
wall,
gone now. Yeah,
where the hell are you looking?
We're gonna do yesterday was the 15th year anniversary of my favorite album of all time, Blue in Exile, Below the Heavens. Changed the way I listened to hip hop music. Changed the way I discovered music. Changed the way what I appreciate in rap music, as I now only listen to West Side Gun and SD Knack. Below the Heavens, Blue in Exile, 15-year, one of the greatest albums of all time. Dancing in the Rain, my favorite song of all time.
Is it cool to like Denzel Curry? I texted Zarek about this. I don't know if people think he's corny or not. I think he's sick.
I think he's he's not my cup of tea, but I would say he can rap and he's different.
Okay.
It's not my cup of tea.
JID is my favorite.
Of all time?
No, just right now. Okay. Come on, it's Drake, the best rapper of all time. Come on, man. Hey, we got off of the episode last week, and as soon as the Zoom ended, I said, I forgot to tell the story about me getting hit by a car. Why don't I do that?
All right, yeah, let's do that, and then...
Almost happened again, actually, the other day. So I laid it out as if I got struck by a vehicle. It was more that I struck a vehicle. So I was on a bike, and for those who are familiar with Chicago, and well, I guess a lot of cities are going to have these, but specifically on the north side of Chicago, how narrow a lot of the bike lanes are going to be, if there even is one to be found in the street, right? So if you're going down Ashland or something, now in my case on the north side, I was going east on Montrose, okay? Just setting the stage for everybody.
Shout out to Eric Montrose.
And the bike lane had a pothole in it, so I tried to swerve out of it, but I had to kind of swerve into the road to do it, because if I swerved on the other side, I would have been hitting parked cars. So I turn around to make sure that there are no cars behind me, that I can do it. And there's one that's far enough. I'm like, I'm fine, I can do this. The car literally speeds up, so I have to swerve back into all the parked cars, and I just flip over this car. And it's funny because I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I thought that I shattered my wrist, and I was I was panicking because now I'm going to describe this, and it's going to sound funny, but it was not in real time. Okay. I was halfway flipped over when I started to realize this car alarm is about to go off because I just hit it.
That was your concern.
And there are people, this was on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to the beach to watch fireworks, and there are, a million people around right now. Everybody's got the day off. Everybody's enjoying their day in the sun. And so everybody saw me swerve into this car and just flip over it and then get up and, look at my wrist and, kind of
nobody stretch check around. On you?
No shot. The car just kept going.
That's funny.
People, looked and then just kept walking, and I got back on the bike and, pulled my phone out and, checked my email. And I was once I didn't know what to do. I don't know if you've ever been hit by a car before, or rather hit a car.
But I haven't, but I have a good bike story. So being born in 92, late 90s, early 2000s, I was to Damn. Go have fun. You had to go ride your bike in your neighborhood to go see your homies.
Yes.
That's what we were on. We would meet up at the basketball court and we'd hoop, and or we go to my man's house and we go hoop, whatever. And one day I was in my neighborhood and I was on my way to somewhere. And I tried to do a wheelie or something crazy, and I hit a pothole and flipped over the front and scraped up my face, almost broke my neck. I'm on the sidewalk and I want to cry. I'm 10, 11. I want to cry bad as hell. This shit hurt.
Yeah.
And I was kind of cool then, where I had to first, before I cried, I had to look around, make sure nobody saw me. I've been trying to look player my whole life.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I wanted
yeah,
to look
yeah.
player then too, even though I just busted my ass. I look around, don't see anybody to my left, anybody to my middle, anybody behind me. Again, I'm on the sidewalk, which means that there's houses attached to the sidewalk. I look to my right. There's just an old man just on his porch staring at me. I'm bloody. I just almost died. Doesn't say a word. Just stares at me. Doesn't say a word. So
didn't help you?
Didn't help me. So then I'm dang, that's messed up. I would ask the kid. I would ask somebody if they're all right. So I wanted to cry even more. So as soon as I turned the corner, I hid in a bush and just cried and wiped myself off. But
did you have so you're scraped up, but what's the worst injury you've ever had? You ever break anything?
I've never been hurt.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, playing ball, it popped out once, and then I shimmied it back in, or somebody at the court pushed it back in, and that's a painful thing when your shoulder comes out. That happened about 4 or 5 times before I went to see a doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, you could not get surgery, and you'll just have to keep popping your elbow or your shoulder back in, or you get surgery.
Dang,
so I got
man.
Yeah, shoulder surgery. I've broken my ankle at Eastern Michigan's basketball camp. I used to get nosebleeds a lot. I used to have to put water in my nose before bed because I would get nosebleeds. You never injured yourself like that?
I got a concussion once playing football, head-to-head contact. You know how it goes. Both players put their head down, Yeah. You know the vibes.
Basically death.
We were doing the Oklahoma drill. Yeah. Yeah. Which, for those who know,
no.
is, first of all, it's a great drill. But boy, is it unsafe, and nobody should do it ever. It's so stupid to do, yeah. And I don't think you're actually allowed to do it anymore.
I don't
think
so either.
In
some states.
No, maybe. But other than that, you know what was funny? So I might have told this story before. My freshman year of football, first day of two-a-days that we were wearing pads, which is like the third or fourth day of two-a-days, okay? First play from scrimmage.
What
first
position
snap
are you?
Of
safety?
So in this moment, I was on defense. I was playing safety.
Okay. I could see you being a safety.
I was a corner growing up, but then, yeah, I got moved to safety.
You got dusted one too many times. You were better off as a help defender?
Facts, sure. Though. Right. No lie. Yes, that's exactly why. But I was a quarterback, though. So, right, I had something going for me. But anyways, so the dude who was like the running back, powerhouse running back, this dude was a truck, okay? He runs the ball up the middle, and I'm kind of thinking, I can take this one off. Like, he's not going nowhere on the first play of the year. Dude comes right up the middle, comes, you know, charging at me. So I run up to him, you know, getting my stance. Dude hit me so hard, all four of my chin straps got, the little buckles got knocked off, all four of them. And it was just like all tangled in my face mask. And I like got up. I was like, bro. And he's like, I'm sorry, man. I didn't. And he housed it because I'm the last line of defense. And then in an actual game, a similar situation, I've told this story before, similar situation, first play of the game, we were playing Brighton and I was in at safety, but I was also, we had the ball first. So, I didn't come off the field in that game. I was on kick return, punt return. I was quarterback. I was safety. I was always on the field. Right. So I'm gassed after one possession.
Is this
we were just
JV
on offense.
Or freshman?
Freshman. Okay. So I'm like 13, 14. Yeah. I'm in at safety. And dude, exact same situation, just runs up but runs right at me, doesn't put his shoulder down, but instead stiff arms me into the dirt and houses it for like 60 yards.
Is there footage of this?
Not anymore.
You got it wiped.
Unfortunately.
Do you have any,
I'm
more,
actually
of,
mad
do any more of your? Do you have any of your football highlights? That would be good YouTube content.
It might be difficult to find him. I know that I have a video of me as a 9-year-old.
Eh. Nobody was trucking at nine.
With like a 90-yard pick six.
Yeah. We want to see like your huddle film. Like you were trying trying to go to
trying to get to the league.
Yeah, like the Heidelberg or I think that's what it's called.
Do you know how hard it is as a 9-year-old to A, get an interception, but to B, get a pick six? You know how hard that is as a 9-year-old? You know how often they're throwing the ball?
I played flag football growing up. My parents wouldn't let me play tackle.
Which is smart, by the way.
Yeah,
that's a smart thing to do. Luckily, Matthew and I were both fine. But except there was...
Are you?
I'm straight.
Are you?
I don't think football is the reason that I am the way that I am. That's what you know what I mean? Alrighty, James, you picked your album. I don't think I have one this week. Oh, no, I do. I added one actually to my top albums of the year. It was a Block Party album.
Is this
Block Party Alpha
what
Games?
Is Block Party.
There we go.
Type of genre.
What do I want to call them?
Electropop?
Kind of.
Okay. That's sounds like it.
It's close enough. A little more a little harder than that. A little more alternative, but okay. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to this on Spotify, no matter where you are, you can leave 5 stars. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. Subscribe if you're feeling generous. What do they do on The Athletic? Is there anything specific that they can
sure.
do with our?
I'm not sure. You can comment on the podcast on The Athletic app. I don't know if you can review
it. Yes, you can.
But, check out Google, The Bun and Cardigan Show YouTube.
Or just go to YouTube.
Yeah, I've been having
a bunch of cargo.
Don't go to Google. But yeah, maybe that's just me.
Here's the workaround
we'll
for that: is if you
sometime this week,
is if you search it on YouTube, and if it doesn't come up, go to the filter and then sort it by upload date,
your video
will immediately show up. So there you go.
All
right, ladies and gentlemen,
with a metal mask. That's me.
MF Doom. We will catch you guys.
J.E. Doom.
In the next one.